Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So Brad, Disney has made more progress on this starship in Epcot. We talked a couple weeks ago about the NovaCorps, what did they call it, Star Blaster at Epcot. And, you know, they'd put it up and there was this big giant truss and we were talking about, you know, what are they going to do with the truss? And some parts of it were still unthemed. There were some places where the wings connect to the fuselage that weren't quite done yet, but they've definitely made some progress. They've installed a lot more theming. A lot of those spots where the wings and other pieces connect to that main fuselage are now themed, and they've installed some guns on the front. So now it's a real blaster.
Yeah, it's guns. I mean, I know they are guns, but they don't really look like guns.
They didn't duct tape some Glocks to the front of it or anything. Like it's
well, but it's not even like they're wide barrels and everything.
Yeah,
I don't know that I would.
They're guns in name only.
Right. I don't know that I would read these as guns if you saw them. But no, I am. I am glad to see see work continuing on this. And if you look at the Blog Mickey article that we'll have in the show notes, you'll notice. With the close-ups of those guns, there's also a big hole still right behind the guns. So clearly, work is continuing on this thing. I do think that at some point, if we're going to keep talking about this thing on a regular basis, you're going to have to make like a Star Blaster watch update sting or something for us, so that we can cut into this. Yes, exactly. I don't know what a Star Blaster sounds like, but that sounds good. So just go ahead and cut that and add that to the beginning.
Cool.
So that part is done. But yeah, here's the other thing. I will say that when you sent this article to me and I looked at it, the truss is less problematic to me looking at it this time than it was the previous time. And I wasn't super upset about it the first time I saw it. But I mean, would it be better if it wasn't there? Sure. But I don't know that it's a showstopper. Like, I think this thing can look cool enough even if it has to sit on a truss.
I don't think it's a showstopper. I think the most egregious thing about it to me is just the sheer number of bolts and nuts holding it in. Like, I would think if they had done a different job of securing it to the truss, the theming is not necessary. You know, I think we can look past that if the amount of exposed nuts and bolts wasn't so much. I think because of that, they are going to do some theming, but what they're going to do, I have no idea. But I think you were talking about the guns on the front. I think that hole and kind of where it's positioned is going to play into how that truss is hidden, you know,
the pylon or whatever that is going to be surrounding the truss to make it look like a solid piece.
I don't remember if you said it on the show or if we were just talking, but you said mirrors, and I wonder if they're going to do some sort of not necessarily a fully reflective mirror, but maybe one of those like kind of. I don't know how to describe it. It's a mirror and it's reflective, but it's not. It's like cloudy almost, you know, or like kind of not smudged. I don't know how to describe what I'm thinking, but something where you could walk up and you could see a vague outline of yourself, but not actually see yourself in it. And I think that would really work, you know, especially since the truss is angled. It wouldn't be reflecting straight at you. It would be reflecting the ground and then on the back, you know, the sky. And I think that would work.
Okay. It just hit me. I know I have the solution to this problem. I doubt it's the one that they're going to use because I don't actually know that it would work, but it would be the solution to this problem.
Okay.
Use a brushed metal look.
Hmm.
Because here's the thing, if you look at the old Universe of Energy sign in front, I don't know what you want to call that, right? Like the thing that they replaced with this ship, it has that, you know, the ball on the spire or whatever. And that spire is made of like a brushed metal. So that could be kind of a nod to what was there before.
A tie back to it.
You know, and still look really good. So I don't know. That's an option. I agree with you. I don't think it's done simply because there are so many bolts there. And all the work that they've done thus far, like you said, where they added stuff on the wings to hide the bolts. So yeah, we'll wait and see. I think overall this thing is growing on me. I think I'm liking it. And I will probably not care that much. You know, I'll get my photo pass photo taken in front of it, and then I'll go inside. And then will come what I really care about, which is whether or not the attraction is
the actual attraction. Yeah, I just want to reiterate, I love this thing. I think that just the sheer size of it is incredible. And I don't know what I was thinking when I saw the concept art for it, but man, what they have actually achieved here, I think, is wonderful. And more like this, please.
Right.
Over in Hollywood Studios, the Toy Story characters have finally, and here's a spoiler alert for how I feel about this, they have finally gotten new looks. So Woody, Jesse, and Buzz have new designs on their faces, basically. And they've gone from horrible at best to really, really good. And I really like them. The old ones, I don't know why they ever settled on those as the character designs, but Buzz especially. I think Woody and Jesse are much better, you know, maybe like on a scale of 1 to 10, they're like a 7. And then Buzz on a scale of 1 to 10 is like a 50. I mean, Buzz was awful and Buzz is now great. So I really like these new designs, and I hope that Disney will continue to iterate on characters. I think the Incredibles should be the next ones to get refreshed, because they're the next ones that aren't so great. But yeah, love this.
So as you were saying this, I'm going to be totally honest. I could have sworn you were saying Woody was the worst, because Woody is the worst. And
negative.
then it suddenly hit me that you said, but is it just like, was it the smile that Buzz had before?
It's just, yeah, it's totally unnatural. Like, I don't know. Buzz just always looked so odd. He doesn't look anything like the character in the movies. It looks like somebody, you described Buzz Lightyear to someone who had never seen Toy Story, and they drew him. The new one looks like Buzz in the movies. But yeah, the old one has little to no, other than the suit, has like basically no resemblance to Buzz in the movies.
Okay, I don't know if you would have noticed this in a vacuum, but when comparing old Woody to new Woody, I now want to call old Woody old tanned Woody. Because I mean, like, look at the difference between the hands and the face on Woody, and those eyes, dude. I don't know, there's just something that's a little bit nightmare. I think to some extent it's because of the, you know, the Woody mouth or whatever for the Toy Story Midway Mania entrance at Tokyo Disney Sea. Like, I think that plays into it, because that design is the old Woody design, I think, in many ways. Like, the way the nose was done is a lot more angular and everything. So to me, the old Woody is much more nightmare fuel, but. I think all of these are great. I do think it's important to note that, you know, as we constantly talk about, not, you know, oh gosh, they changed this, that's horrible, they changed that, that's horrible, there are changes that we like, and this is one of the changes that we like. This is one of the places where, now I will say, and please don't add, like, I could go back and look, I feel like there have been some Mickey changes that have been not as, you know, universally positive, I would say.
Mickey has definitely, like, I mean, if you go back to the 50s, Mickey has gone from,
oh no, yeah,
oh no, to is really good, but it has not always been an improvement. Every time they changed Mickey has not always been for the better.
But right, and that's what I'm saying, is not every evolution has been better, but Yeah, I don't want to go back to the olden days of the Nightmare Fuel. Yeah, look at some of those opening day Mickey things, and just imagine Mickey walking up to you looking like that.
Again, if someone described he's a mouse, and someone went, "Oh, okay, I'll make a mouse," and it's like, "Oh, yeah, but he's like
close enough."
He's like also supposed to be friendly looking, and he's a cartoon. Oh, you said mouse though, so. He's a mouse.
Yeah, and mouses are scary, so therefore I made, exactly
he's
what you would
rabies.
Think when you think human-sized mouse.
Oh, yeah, exactly what he was. He was a human-sized mouse, and that's awful.
but the moral of the story is I think we both really like these new characters.
For sure.
I don't think the Incredibles are nearly as far off as what the Toy Story characters were, but I could see some improvements being done. I wonder if they're going to expand the number of characters that get the moving mouths and all that stuff.
They don't have very many of those, do they? Now,
no, I have to assume that the technology is probably pretty expensive for that.
Is that controlled?
It would be cool to see that. I have no clue. I would. Just totally armchair engineer. I'm not an engineer. Brad says it would probably be easiest to control that with some, having a computer basically control it.
That's what my question was going to be, is that controlled by a computer in the head or in the costume? Or is it like an infrared thing?
It may actually be controlled remotely.
Because the voice, so like take for example Mickey doing a castle show, the voice comes out of the speakers, and so you would want the mouth movements to be more or less synced with the speakers. And so if you had some kind of a infrared transmitter out in the where the audience is, I feel like that would maybe be better than having a computer that's trying to sync up with the, the show. But I don't know. I mean, they've got so many different ways to do that. I didn't know if you had any insider info about how that works.
Not even a little bit. But I know Mickey has done meet and greets before with it. I think didn't they take that away a couple of years ago?
That would be like a Turtle Talk with Crush thing. That would actually be really impressive if Mickey's mouth moved more or less in sync with what he was saying to you.
Yeah, I'm not sure how but like I said, I think maybe that I don't know. I would have to research it. But I don't think that still happens anymore. I know that it used to happen. But I don't think it happens currently. So maybe if they don't have a need for it in shows, it's not going to happen. Though
I would imagine those costumes are significantly harder to clean too.
Right, and keep running, and you want to talk about Nightmare Fuel characters. Just imagine if there's a malfunction on that during a meeting.
Mickey's mouth just falls open.
Right. Right. Or, all of a sudden they start arr, 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 and just are chomping at you or something. There's a lot of voices that go bad. So regardless, they didn't do that here. They made these characters look better. Yay, Disney. That's
much
that's
more
good.
Photogenic. So Disney, I believe in the shareholder meeting, they talked about Genie Plus and how successful it is. And the number that they gave was that 30 to 50% of guests buy Genie Plus, which, if anything is a signal that Genie Plus is not going anywhere, because that is $15 per person per day from 30 to 50% of the people visiting Walt Disney World, which is a lot of people. So I don't have a whole lot to say about that, other than that's an interesting little tidbit that Genie Plus does seem to be selling pretty well, and it's not surprising to me. I've made my feelings on that pretty well known, you know, I think everybody's going to have to buy it because it's so cheap. And when everybody has it, you really can't afford not to. But yeah, I think it's interesting that 30 to 50%, you know, even if we're being generous, half the people at Walt Disney World have Genie Plus. That's crazy to me.
So my question is, based on this number, like, I know when we've previously talked about Genie Plus, you've said you feel like Genie Plus is table stakes.
Yes.
For going to the Walt Disney World Resort now. Given that, are you surprised that this number isn't higher than it is? Or do you think that you're just not in the you're not in the majority, I guess, because, yeah, even at best you'd be 50%. That's not a majority. So you're not in the majority of thinking that way, because if you were, then more than 50% of people would have it. Or was this about in line with where you expected those numbers to be in spite of that?
Honestly, it does seem low to me, because I figure the Disney website is pushing it, you know, travel agents are going to push it, and I feel like it would be like 50 to 70, not 30 to 50. I feel like 50 would be on the low end and then 70 would be on the high end. And that may change, you know, it's only been, what, 6 months since Genie Plus came out? So we're not very far into this. But yeah, I do think, or I would have thought, that more people would have just gone ahead and, you know, just purchased it. And I don't know, I guess Disney, you know, they have access to all the numbers. It's not just people who pre-purchased it. It's people who purchased it day of as well. But yeah, I don't know. I hadn't really thought about where, if that seemed low or high to me. I liked having that data point. But yeah, I do feel like it is a little bit low. 30 is especially low, I think.
Right, right. And I think I expected it to be higher, because I kind of expected everybody to just go, okay, that's another thing that we have to add on. Though I do wonder, as you said, it's not like it's been in place forever. And there were, what, there were a percentage of vacations that were planned before Genie Plus was a
right.
thing. And I don't know exactly how they, I'm sure there was some messaging to those people to say, hey, you know, now you can do Genie Plus, but maybe that's a harder sell when you're not, yeah, I would like to know, you know, not that they would ever be this granular, but what's the data point on people who checked out through the, you know, Walt Disney World, online reservation system after this was added, where you guys are basically just throwing it in? How many people just didn't bother saying, no, I don't want that, or something? Because I think that possibly that number would be more in line with what you were expecting. And honestly, what I was expecting. I do think the other thing that was interesting about this number was to realize that at 30 to 50% of guests buying this, we're regularly seeing rides completely go through their Lightning Lane allotments, going through their Genie Plus allotments. Sorry, I keep forgetting those are different
things. That's Lightning
Lane.
No, it's Lightning Lane. So the thing that Genie Plus unlocks for you is Lightning Lane. And then
what do we call the other thing?
Individual Lightning Lane is the other thing. They're both Lightning Lane. One of them just means you pay money, extra money, and the other one means you've paid the $15 a day, which they're not mutually exclusive. You can buy the individual Lightning Lane without having Genie Plus. But you're right. It is called Lightning Lane in both instances.
So for Lightning Lane Lite, I'm surprised that they are already going through all of the allotment that they have, given that only 30 to 50% of guests are taking them up on it. What would that... I'm trying to fathom... And I guess truthfully the answer is FastPass Plus, but you know exactly what it would look like once the scale starts tipping even further towards Genie Plus versus non-Genie Plus. Surely they're gonna have to allow for more allotment, right?
I mean, there's a point, and I've seen stories on Reddit a lot of people who have said, like, I got out of the Lightning Lane line and went into the standby line because Lightning Lane was so much longer than standby. So already they're having capacity issues. And I don't know what happens when you get up to like the 70% of people have Genie Plus.
Right. Because otherwise, if 70% of people have Genie Plus, it's going to be like once, once it's 10 a.m., everything is going to already be taken for the day. Good luck, you know, sort of a thing. Or here's your living with the land, which man, is sad, but living with the land is going to be one of those that's available longer.
But 100%. That sucks because you can only do one at a time.
And you're also paying for it. It's no longer free. And when it's not free, I have, you know, we're rehashing points at this point, but I have totally different expectations of what I can do when I have to pay for it.
Absolutely.
And so they've got to allow for more, which then makes the standby lines long. But then supposedly you'd have less people. But the thing is, you know, you're talking about this magical world where 100% of people have Genie Plus and there is nobody. But the thing is, like, if I have Genie Plus for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train at 10 a.m., I don't not do anything until 10 a.m., right? I'm going to go wait in line for Peter Pan's flight until then. So there's still going to be a standby line, but it's going to take me 4 hours to get there because they're going to be devoting like 99% of capacity to trying to get all of the Lightning Lane because, again, people have that expectation because they've paid for it. And suddenly we're all paying $15 to get the exact same level of service. It's just like that's what my brain keeps coming back to, and I can't see a way around that. Now, yes, if they could plan out, you know, if they could ever reach the magical version of Genie Plus where, you know, they told you, hey, you're going to get to do everything that you want to do. This is your 5 minute period for this. This is your 5 minute period, you know, and like we've accounted for walk time and all that stuff. Great. But the big problem that I see with that is I have these tiny humans that wreck anything that I have
on
for
any
a plan.
Kind of schedule.
Oh no. They if there is a schedule, like my tiny humans, if you know we have nothing going on for the day and we'd like to sleep in, 6:30 a.m., 7 a.m. Hey mom, hey dad, let's start the day.
Mm-hmm.
But if we've got to be somewhere at 9, it's like 8:15, and they're like, no, why are you waking me up? And that totally plays into throughout the day. You know, there's a potty break that you got to do, and oh no, this potty doesn't work, or that potty doesn't like.
Yeah,
it's just I'm playing it off on the tiny humans, but me as well. You know,
I mean,
sometimes
that's just humans in general.
Nature calls, or you know, you stub your toe, or you're tired because we're not all automatons that can just get from point. Hey, could they ever hook us up with those Wall-E chairs? Because that would work.
That's the key. Is you know the chair is a bathroom and you just get in the chair and the chair takes you where you go and bada bing bada boom.
So there we go. Disney to develop Wall-E chair tech in 2042. I don't know. Sounds like a good time as any.
Well, I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.